Funding for Capital Report is provided by the following. A grant from the law firm of Searcy, Denny, Scarola, Barnhart, and Shipley. Supporting public radio and taking time to care. On the web at searcylaw.com. Lewis, Longman, and Walker. A Florida law firm helping clients navigate the maze of regulatory and political processes. Offices in Tallahassee and statewide. More about Lewis, Longman, and Walker's legislative lobbying and other governmental affairs practices is at llw-law.com. Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. And from the Florida AFL-CIO, representing over 1 million union members, retirees, and their families. Committed to building a better future for all Floridians by promoting healthy communities, economic justice, and dignity in the workplace. Online at flaflcio.org. WFSU-FM, Tallahassee. From the state capitol, Florida Public Radio brings you Capitol Report.
A new governor delivers his first State of the State speech to lawmakers led by new leadership.
Be bold, because while perfection is not attainable, if we aim high, we can achieve excellence.
Also tonight, Florida's legislative leaders map out a way forward during the next 60 days.
And when an idea is not right or a bill is not ready, let us have the courage to step back, regroup, and rethink.
We'll also learn that despite hazards that may give them cancer, Florida firefighters lack vital insurance coverage. And we'll discover that an urban transportation plan, beloved by a powerful lawmaker, is drawing fire from outlying counties, environmentalists, and even the governor. I'm Tom Flanagan. Florida's 2019 lawmaking session is officially underway, and this is Capitol Report. It was his first ever State of the State address as Florida governor and his first time standing before all members of the Florida legislature. By way of painting a contrast between state lawmakers and their federal counterparts, Ron DeSantis, who was in Congress, wasted no time throwing a little shade on his former colleagues in Washington.
It's quite a privilege to actually be able to work with a legislative body that has demonstrated the ability to get things done and to lead.
There was an endearing aside about kid-proofing the governor's mansion, as DeSantis and his wife Casey's two small children are the first youngsters to be part of the state's first family in generations.
Now, our kids Madison and Mason have taken over the governor's mansion, but the baby-proofing has been successful. I can report that no artifacts of Florida history have yet been destroyed.
But that levity was brief. DeSantis immediately switched gears to talk about the ongoing catastrophe in Northwest Florida from last October's Hurricane Michael. And even though the current federal budget plan has no immediate relief set aside for recovery, DeSantis told lawmakers he was already leveraging his positive relationship with President Trump to change that situation.
I've already traveled to Washington, D.C. and secured a historic commitment from the Trump administration to provide assistance to the communities that Michael battered. My administration has worked to cut through red tape to expedite relief efforts. And thanks to the leadership of your former House colleague, Jared Moskowitz, we are making great progress.
Like his immediate predecessor, Rick Scott, Governor DeSantis spent lots of time talking about job creation and economic development. So there were multiple references to Florida being a place where taxes are low and regulations few, where colleges and vocational technical institutions make workforce development a priority, and where the governor isn't shy about trying to lure businesses from other states.
So I'm doing my part to spread the word. I was in New York City last week meeting with business leaders and stress this fact and pledge that we in Florida will do even more to build a world-class talent pool.
DeSantis asked lawmakers for some specific legislative solutions.
I hope the legislature passes legislation to reform the issue of AOB, which has really degenerated into a racket. And it is clear that we need to reform some of our occupational licensing regime, which borders on the absurd and primarily serves to frustrate opportunities for Floridians.
DeSantis vowed to push for more support for school choice, particularly private schools, to ban sanctuary cities in Florida, and also expressed support for the opposition regime in Venezuela and unstinting support for Israel, Many of these issues brought applause, but the biggest applause line came when DeSantis went after the recent expansion of abortion rights in several other states.
The callous disregard for human life displayed recently by the governors of Virginia and New York. We will not allow such things to happen here in Florida.
Finally, if Governor Rick Scott's mantra was jobs, 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 Governor DeSantis had his own mantra ready to go for his first State of the State speech.
Be bold. Be bold in championing economic opportunity. Be bold in protecting Florida's environment. Be bold in improving education. Be bold in defending the safety of our communities. Be bold because while perfection is not attainable, if we aim high, we can achieve excellence.
The traditional Democratic response followed, at least traditional since 1999, when Jeb Bush began an unbroken string of Republicans in the governor's mansion. Senate Minority Leader Audrey Gibson of Jacksonville began with a bit of praise for at least one element of the DeSantis speech.
His priorities on the environment to clean up Florida's water from all the toxic algae and red tide that killed untold numbers of dolphins and other marine life sounds great and is welcome news.
But the governor's health care plans, which included no expansion of Medicaid, brought a denunciation from Gibson, although she saved her most vigorous opposition for DeSantis' plans to expand vouchers for private schools.
Our Constitution doesn't mandate using tax dollars to pay for private schools. It doesn't require us to subsidize for-profit charter management companies. It doesn't require us to help build private schools in areas where great public schools already exist. But that's exactly what the governor has laid out and is about to try to do.
Without question, it's going to be a fascinating lawmaking session. But it wasn't only Governor DeSantis who was mapping out a possible agenda for the new lawmaking session begun today. Florida's House and Senate leaders set the tone for the 2019 lawmaking session with their opening remarks. Ryan Daly was on hand to hear how President Bill Galvano and Speaker Jose Oliva kicked things off.
Senate President Bill Galvano didn't preview or discuss specifics of legislation during his opening speech. He used his time instead to urge collaboration among his colleagues and says it's better to be measured than push laws through prematurely.
But I ask that we collaborate, that we truly vet and debate the issues and policies and ideas that come before us. And when an idea is not right or a bill is not ready, let us have the courage to step back, regroup, and rethink.
Speaking with reporters not long after his opening address, Galvano offered his thoughts on Governor Ron DeSantis' opening day speech.
I picked up the tone that has been present ever since he became governor, again today, that he intends to work with the legislature and has respect for the legislature.
But on DeSantis's proposed environmental budget, Galvano wouldn't say whether he thinks it's realistic.
His numbers, when you boil it down, it's $625-630 million. That's pushing it. That's pushing it a bit, given the challenges that we have budget-wise with Hurricane Michael and the impacts of Hurricane Michael and what we spent there already.
That's not the only point where Galvano diverged an opinion from the governor. Galvano wants to expedite construction on transport corridors in Florida to make the toll roads run through what he calls the rural spine of the state. DeSantis says he's not in favor of tolls, which he thinks hit blue-collar Floridians in the pocketbook. Galvano disagrees.
I think the opposite effect will occur. You know, one of the reasons I've looked at the rural communities and the impacts there is to bring some economic opportunity there by having multi-use corridors. We'll explore all options, but if you're really getting into putting projects online and keeping them moving at a steady pace and utilizing bonding, you have to have a revenue source.
Meanwhile, House Speaker Jose Oliva took a decidedly different tone than his Senate counterpart while delivering his opening remarks. Oliva ripped the state university system for what he says is a pattern of wasteful spending.
It is true now that our university systems are taking longer to graduate students. It is true that oftentimes they have grown with the desire to be larger rather than to be better.
Oliva says he wants reforms to the university system that aren't necessarily sweeping changes, but what he calls a course correction. The House Speaker's speech was even more brutal in its criticism of Florida's healthcare industry, which he called a five-alarm fire.
We have a great financial and human crisis looming. I'm speaking, of course, of the healthcare industrial complex, a terribly dysfunctional healthcare system that is bankrupting the state and many of the individuals living in this state.
Oliva says he wants to bring reform to the healthcare industry, and unlike those he's proposing for the university system, he wants the changes to be sweeping.
In order to truly reform healthcare, it has to be tremendously comprehensive. That means that you have to create an environment where information is known, where transparency and pricing exist, where you have accountability in estimates, and then you have to have people having the ability to participate in that.
Regarding his goals for a budget this year, Oliva says he simply wants to spend less money per resident than was spent last year. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Ryan Daly.
Still to come on Capitol Report, Senate President Bill Galvano's urban transportation bill gets pushback from rural counties and environmentalists during its first stop.
Congestion has never been solved by building more roads.
The ties between firefighting and cancer are strong, and there's been a push for cancer coverage in firefighters' insurance plans. But critics argue it's too expensive.
We don't know how to deal with premiums, copay, co-insurance, $25,000 cash payout.
And after years of failure, Florida lawmakers hope this is the year they might finally be able to solve the assignment of benefits problem.
The struggles and frustrations that these sides will not get together to discuss and work out. So unfortunately, sometimes you have to be the adult in the room and force legislation upon.
Support for Capitol Report is provided by the Able Trust, believing growth of Florida's economy depends on a diverse and inclusive workforce. The Able Trust works with the business community to include talented Floridians with disabilities as vital team members. More information is at abletrust.org.
Senate President Bill Galvano's transportation bill passed its first committee today, but that passage was anything but smooth sailing as the measure was met with strong opposition. And as Blaise Ganey tells us, Governor Ron DeSantis is also opposed to that part of the plan that would mean more toll roads to be built in Florida.
Florida is one of the fastest growing states in America and has more than 100 million visitors each year. Senate President Bill Galvano believes the state needs to address how to help citizens get around. But rural communities don't want the highway in their backyard. The project would extend the Suncoast Parkway from Tampa Bay to the Georgia border, extend the Florida Turnpike to connect with the Suncoast Parkway, and build the Heartland Parkway, which would run from Collier County to Orlando. Dave Cullen for the Sierra Club says he has a better idea.
We think that using intelligent land planning, particularly for new development, and putting it in places where it will be less susceptible to severe weather is much better than having the world's longest parking lot with everybody trying to escape on a couple of lanes. That's just not the best use and not necessarily the safest thing to do. Congestion has never been solved by building more roads.
Hurricane evacuation is one of the benefits the proposed program claims to address. Proponents say the projects will boost the economy in rural areas, mainly by creating more jobs. Committee staff director Philip Miller explained.
It allows DOT to set up a workforce development program that would address the shortages for skilled labor to do these types of projects. So it's not just the typical construction projects that are involved with highway part, but also with the other types of infrastructure that might be involved in this.
But Colin worries that although it may increase the workforce for the time being, the money being diverted away from the state's general fund to do the projects would hurt other areas.
A lot of the bill is financial in nature, and there is a significant loss to GR. GR, as you know, is the source of your funding for education. It is very likely going to be a source for hurricane recovery, and we would suggest that it should be a source for the environmental projects that have been kicked down the road, not for years, but for decades. Septic tanks, sewer, and water supply project.
The committee chair, Senator Tom Lee, says he expects changes along the way, but forewarned members that tough choices would have to be made.
We've tried to think through this. There's probably a lot more to do, and there's probably a lot more the House will have in store for us as well. And I will just commit to all of you to continue to work with each and every one of you to try to make this a Senate work product, not a President Galvano work product or a Tom Lee work product, but a team product for a team sport.
For Florida Public Radio, I'm Blaze Ganey.
Firefighters are at a greater risk of developing cancer than most other professionals, according to federal research. They're also at greater risk from dying from it. But cancer isn't explicitly part of their insurance coverage. South Florida's Senator Anatiri Flores wants to change that. And as Lynn Hatter reports, momentum is building to do it this year in the Florida legislature.
Jay Post worked as a firefighter in Brevard County for 33 years. He retired in 2012. He never smoked, and he was diagnosed with throat cancer in 2017. Last year, he had his vocal cords removed.
This is how I will know. This is how I will be for the rest of my life.
Post says this is how he'll speak for the rest of his life. He's lost the ability to smell as well. And he says there's a problem in the system that needs fixing.
Cancer victims in the fire service are becoming younger and younger and younger. I didn't get mine till I was 67 years old. There are now guys getting cancer in their late 30s and early 40s.
So knowing as we do know today that we are putting our firefighters in harm's way, not only from the fire, but from all of the consequential environmental risks, I think we owe it to those who risk their lives every day to be sure that they are covered.
That's Miami-Dade County Commissioner Daniela Levine Cava. Miami Republican Senator Anatiri Flores wants cancer to be included in firefighter health care plans. Her proposal also provides greater death and disability benefits for cancer than what's presently being offered. Currently, workers' compensation is the mechanism used in Florida to cover firefighter cancer.
So the challenge that exists with workers' compensation is that you need to prove that your cancer, your disease, came as a result of one incident, which is something that's virtually impossible to prove.
And we do understand the sentiment of the bill, but we're not sure that it is actually workable in real life.
Florida League of Cities lobbyist Amber Hughes questions the cost of the bill. Most firefighters are municipal employees, and local governments foot those insurance bills. Cancer treatment is expensive.
We don't know how to deal with premiums, copay, co-insurance, $25,000 cash payout, disability benefit, death benefit.
Despite those concerns, the proposal got strong favorability in its first legislative hearing, and it's being backed by Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Patronis, who also doubles as the state's fire marshal. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Lynn Hatter.
Since the end of the shuttle program in 2011, Florida has worked to court private space business to fill the gap. Now, other states like Georgia, Texas, and Colorado are looking to capitalize on the private space boom. WMFE's space reporter Brendan Byrne reports on how stakeholders, along with the governor and legislature, are hoping to hold on to Florida's dominance in the space industry.
Firefly Aerospace is the latest company to pick Florida for a new rocket manufacturing and launch facility. The groundbreaking last month was the culmination of months of behind-the-scenes work by Space Florida. The state agency worked to secure funding and infrastructure upgrades for Firefly, which promises to bring more than 200 jobs with a salary of around $70,000.
I think that this is good for our economy. It's also just good for exploration. I think our space mission, we've got good mojo back.
In his budget request, Governor Ron DeSantis asked the legislature for $7 million for Space Florida to attract new business opportunities and investors, and about $12 million for operating expenses. The funding is likely to get approved. So far, Space Florida's efforts have brought big names like SpaceX and Blue Origin to the Space Coast, and there are signs of even more growth statewide. New technology, like reusable rockets, is changing the industry, along with new funding sources. Industry analyst Chris Quilty.
We've seen, for the first time in the history of the industry, venture capitalists investing in space companies.
But for some industry leaders, tax incentives and infrastructure upgrades aren't enough to keep Florida on the top of the list for aerospace businesses looking for a new home. It's lacking one key thing.
It's a workforce.
That's Space Florida's Dale Ketchum.
It's the talent and the skilled labor to get done
the high technology projects that are moving here.
Space Florida isn't in charge of developing a workforce, but leaders at the agency urged lawmakers to consider the issue during a trip to the Capitol last month during Space Week. And attracting and keeping a skilled workforce is on the minds of some lawmakers.
Talent is today's currency.
Democratic Florida House Representative Anna V. Escamani says Central Florida has institutions that feed the Space Coast's appetite for a workforce, universities like UCF, Embry-Riddle, and Florida Tech.
Who have incredible students, but if we're not investing in them and creating an infrastructure where they want to call Florida home, we are going to lose them to other states and other parts of the world.
To attract and keep young workers, Escamani wants lawmakers to invest in public transportation, arts and culture, and push for the passage of the Competitive Workforce Act instead of trying to cut different tax deals. There's also educational programs outside of traditional universities. Governor DeSantis likes the idea of apprenticeships.
You know, we want kids in high school and in state colleges locally to be apprenticeships at places like Firefly and Blue Origin and all these places, and we're willing to put up some money for that.
United Launch Alliance President and CEO Tori Bruno is also looking into an apprenticeship program. His company hires about 400 people in the state to build and launch military, commercial, and NASA payloads.
Because it takes a lot of people to take these rockets to space, not just the rocket scientists, but people who are very skilled at assembling and building rockets, launching rockets. All of that is just a vital element of the team as any other piece.
And there's another thing that could boost the space industry. President Donald Trump signed a directive to create a space command, and Governor DeSantis asked to headquarter the new program in Florida. That could bring even more jobs and more talent to the Sunshine State. I'm Brendan Byrne in Orlando.
And now Gina Jordan gives us a preview of some expected highlights during day two of the lawmaking session.
Here's a look at bills being heard tomorrow in the Florida legislature. In the House, a water treatment plan relating to septic systems gets a hearing. This is one of House Speaker Jose Oliva's priorities toward fixing the state's water quality issues. Applicants for concealed carry permits get to keep their personal information private if lawmakers reauthorize a public record exemption that ends later this year. An education panel considers recovery funds for a string of schools damaged by Hurricane Michael. And students interested in technical certifications may get more flexibility to pursue career pathways that meet their interests and skills. Firefighters have a higher risk of getting cancer than the rest of the population, and Florida taxpayers may soon help pay for their treatment. If you like wine, a bill would repeal limits on the size of individual wine containers that can be sold. As for the wonders of autonomous vehicles, a bill proposes that a human operator is not needed in a vehicle that has a fully automated driving system. In the Senate, if you're interested in growing your own vegetables, lawmakers will consider a bill to prevent local governments from regulating vegetable gardens on most residential properties. The Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services may soon get the nod to adopt rules for administering a state hemp program. This is a priority for new Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried. It's time to consider hands-free communication behind the wheel, as a proposal would make driving while distracted a primary offense. Hospice doctors would get help from a bill that exempts opioid prescribers and dispensers from having to check the state's prescription drug monitoring program database in certain cases. And finally, committees in both chambers will take up legislation to enact a voter-approved constitutional amendment that bans vaping in indoor workplaces. That's some of what's happening tomorrow in the Florida legislature. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Gina Jordan.
You're listening to Capitol Report from Florida Public Radio. I'm Tom Flanagan. Finally tonight, some issues that face Florida lawmakers are new. Figuring out a way to help Northwest Florida rebuild from a hurricane of historic intensity would be an example of that. But every session also has its share of issues that just keep coming back year after year after year. And after years of failure, Florida is again trying to address insurance reform this session. It's targeting a practice known as assignment of benefits. Morgan Martin has more.
An AOB is an agreement that once signed transfers an insurance claim or benefit to a third party. The third party would then have authority to file a claim, make repair decisions, and collect insurance payments without your involvement, similar to how health insurance and doctor's bills work. Critics of AOB and home insurance argue it drives up cost. Supporters say it helps contractors be paid properly and ensures insurance companies don't lowball owners. Lawmakers want to make it harder for contractors to use AOB, but Republican Senator Doug Broxson acknowledges it can be of use in an emergency.
We have added to the bill an emergency repair will be capped at $3,000. An assignment of benefits can be made for the emergency repair. Additional AOBs can be assigned per permanent repairs. Consumers can rescind an AOB or AOBs within the first 14 days of execution or 30 days after the execution of an agreement if service provider has not performed substantial repairs.
The original version of the bill sought to cap attorney's fees. Democratic Senator Perry Thurston feels the proposal still needs more changes before getting his approval. He filed a late amendment.
It removes the 3,000 to 1% on the assignment, which we think was somewhat arbitrary, and which would be created at the time of an emergency. In our opinion, it's a time when the homeowners need the most help, not to be restricted. And certainly we could come back and address that that amount.
But the Pompano Beach Natives language was withdrawn. Still, it got support from Air Quality Assessors of Florida's president, Richie Kidwell. He says the language would have balanced the needs of contractors like him and insurers.
We do feel like it's more favorable. It's something we can work with. It's something that doesn't deny the small contractor the opportunity to work with the homeowner that needs our services. Over the years, we've tried other solutions to try to minimize the amount of exposure that we have here to keep our rights as independent contractors.
Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Petronas is lending his support to assignment of benefits reform. He'd like to see lawmakers pass something during the next 60 days.
All we got is 60 days to fix this. And if we don't do anything for another 60 days, then we're just sticking the citizens of the state of Florida with another higher bill, because we will continue to pass on the struggles and frustrations that these sides will not get together to discuss and work out. So unfortunately, sometimes you have to be the adult in the room and force legislation upon them.
With a 5-2 vote, the bill passed the committee after being stalled for weeks. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Morgan Martin.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Ryan Daly, Blaze Ganey, Lynn Hatter, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, and Sean Mulcahy. We also thank Morgan Martin and our contributing Florida Public Radio stations. Technical assistance for Capitol Report is provided by Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Be sure to join us again every weeknight throughout the Florida lawmaking session for more reports from this state capitol.
Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee. You can hear Capitol Report online, including archives of past shows at WFSU.org. Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. A grant from the law firm of Searcy, Denny, Scarola, Barnhart, and Shipley. Supporting public radio and taking time to care. On the web at searcylaw.com. Lewis, Longman, and Walker, a Florida law firm helping clients navigate the maze of regulatory and political processes. Offices in Tallahassee and statewide. More about Lewis, Longman, and Walker's legislative lobbying and other governmental affairs practices is at llw-law.com. Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. And from the Florida AFL-CIO, representing over 1 million union members, retirees, and their families. Committed to building a better future for all Floridians by promoting healthy communities, economic justice, and dignity in the workplace. Online at flaflcio.org. WFSU-FM, Tallahassee. This is Florida Public Radio.